Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Marshburn? Councilmember Behringer? Councilmember Johns?
Present.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
Councilmember Singleton?
Next, we have the adoption of the agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded, all in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Reports and discussion. Just Thomas here.
Joe's on his way in, Mr. Mayor.
We'll wait a few minutes.
And two and a half hours ago, Greg was on his way from Goldsboro.
Or do we need to?
Because I can skip to item number two.
Okay.
Okay, Joe, you're up. Mario, you're up. Reuse of the building on 120 Main Street.
I apologize, Mayor and Town Council. Pleasure to be before you this evening. Tonight, we were bringing an exciting new development that we have going on in downtown in the 120 building that we wanted to share with you all. So over the past several months, we have been working to repurpose the space for economic development and have found a tenant that we're happy to work with that is in the tech field. And we see the space as something that we can use in our overall economic development efforts throughout the town to help accelerate and really bridge companies in specific industries that have high growth, high impact possibilities that we can then roll out in our communities and continue to help them grow even further. So we're excited to have it. We're going to plan to have a, I guess, more of a larger announcement coming up at the tech conference to kind of really generate some excitement about the space and about what's going on and hopefully get some interest in the remaining spaces there. But Mari and I have been working on it, and it looks like it's really coming together, and we're really excited to bring it to Garner. I think it'll be the first time in Garner's history that we've had a space like this that we can offer to small businesses to come in and really scale up as they continue to grow. So I'll let Mari talk about really the specifics of it, but that's kind of the nuts and bolts of the future of the 120 building on Main Street.
Thank you for your work. Mari.
Good evening, everyone. So as Joe mentioned, it's a very exciting development. For me personally, this will be the first time in the 3 years that I've worked with the town that I'll have office space provided in town-owned property, which the good news there means that we won't be paying rent any longer for the downtown development manager to have an office downtown. That's great for me because it'll be really nice to have a place that's my own, you know, that we can let people know we're there. It's not confusing as to why are you in another business. So, and as you mentioned, we've got a great tenant that we're looking forward to working with. They are bringing 4 to 6 new people to work in downtown Garner. They've got people that kind of work off-site, so they'll be coming in at different times. Of the 6 office spaces in the storage area, they will be having, they'll be taking on 2 offices, and they're actually taking over the back storage area, which we had a really cool idea that they have sales support staff. And they also kind of wanted a bullpen, so they wanted a space that could be a little bit more flexible. They could put people in as they come, you know, if they have people working different hours, they could kind of come in and have a landing space. So what we devised was, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but in the back of the building, there's kind of a long storage space, and then there's 2 small rooms on each end that have doors. And so what we're going to do is turn that into office space that they can use the small offices sort of as phone booths for their salesmen to have, and then the rest of the time they can have sort of their bullpen that they're, you know, floating in and out of. And then the 2 company owners will share an office, and they'll have another changing office. Along with me, that leaves 2 full office spaces available. Some of that, I think, will be used toward mentorship. One of the requirements of them leasing this space is that they provide, I think, about 2 hours of mentoring assistance to high school students through the Trojan Business Alliance. So we'll be working with them to kind of figure out what's the best way for them to provide that assistance, you know, to the schools. We're really excited about it. Right now, we're targeted to be in the building August 15th. We're just waiting on some carpet being installed, furniture being delivered, but we're pretty close. In terms of how that space is going to work, you know, it's town-owned, the utilities are being covered by the town. We'll be providing separate internet through DDA as the tenant. DDA is really excited to have this space. This will mean dedicated meeting space for us that actually fits all of our people. We have a, you know, our board has been growing, and we're looking forward to see it continue to grow. So it's always a benefit to be able to have a dedicated space that they can come to and know that this is downtown space now. One of the reasons that this ended up in downtown, Joe mentioned, you know, this is one of the first times in Garner that we'll have this type of space for entrepreneurs and growing folks. We went to a couple different incubators and co-working spaces when we first started thinking about this. We'd originally had sort of bigger thoughts for the space and realized, you know, based on available resources, we wanted something a little smaller. One thing that we really learned was that a lot of places that have co-working spaces, that's very trendy right now, and there are a lot of places providing that service. But what we noticed specifically in downtown Garner is that we were having a lot of businesses that were growing out of co-working spaces. Their businesses were getting too big for that, but they weren't quite ready to get into a full-scale market rate office space. So basically the way that we've kind of envisioned this is, you know, this is a really great opportunity for downtown to provide a hub to those businesses that's sort of a bridge space. You know, it'll give them 2 to 3 years to kind of grow their business even further beyond the co-working model and be ready to grow and have further long-term investment in Garner. We'll be providing, you know, Joe and I will be working with them to kind of find their next space when they get to that point. So I think that's going to be a really great model for us to kind of have something that bridges the gap. It is also not really replicated anywhere else in the Triangle area. You know, it's not quite a, you know, incubator accelerator, but it is a growing place for those entrepreneurs to really come and get to know Garner, get to know our downtown, see where they might want to invest when their time comes to kind of get bigger. So we're really pleased with the asset that this will be for downtown. You know, Joe mentioned we'd kind of be targeting who would be in there. Right now we're looking at sort of tech companies, creative entrepreneurs. That fits really well within the economic development strategies that we have for downtown, with companies like Garner Underground, Disaster Area Designs, Graphics House, Rising Stream. I think that'll be a really great location. You know, FUSI, all of them doing sort of creative and tech-oriented businesses. That'll be a really great place to bring them so that they can develop mentoring relationships themselves with the other entrepreneurs on Main Street. So I just wanted to say thank you for allowing us to bring this project to fruition. I'm very pleased to be able to have a place to call my home on Main Street, and I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be able to do there with businesses over the next several years.
Councilman, have questions, comments? Just a quick one. I know you mentioned something about some carpet to yet be installed. Is the space already retrofitted and ready to go? I mean, or is any further renovation that has to be done?
Pretty much. It was painted, the carpet will be cleaned, that back area was used as a storage room, so mostly the carpet's the main upfitting there. If you ask Joe and I, we have some grand visions for what it could be, but for right now we're definitely comfortable working with what we have.
Look forward to stopping by and seeing the space.
Yeah, it's all painted. Give me until probably the third week in August so we can get some furniture in there and start making it look real nice. Hopefully we should have some signage and stuff provided by Graphics House within the first month or two, and I think all of that's going to make it a really cool place to see, both from the outside, you know, adding its physical presence to the Main Street, but also inside, you know, a place where people are going to say, I want to put my business in there because it's really a unique and creative space.
Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Mari. Good luck. Next is the update of Station 5, Fire Department.
Mayor and Town Council, I want to give you an update on some of the recent discussions that we're having with Wake County about the siting of Garner Station 5. And we have with us today, tonight, we have Chief Poole here and Ms. Anderson from the Garner Fire Board and President Mr. Woodall here joining us. This is basically just to get you up to date, because there's going to be probably a lot of publicity. You know, you'll probably be a lot of discussions about this in the near future. But basically, we've been talking about the potential need for a fire station in the 401 corridor for a number of years, and I believe the fire department included it in one of their long-range plans not too long ago. And part of that fire station siting could potentially involve collaborating with Wake County to cover part of the unincorporated area, and also the potential at some future date to collaborate with Fuquay to also share the station jointly. The station, just like Station 4, would also house an EMS, probably, I guess, one vehicle there for EMS, and maybe some other uses to be determined. But what makes this one a bit different than Station 4 is that it could also involve the, I guess, the closing of Fairview Station 2, or I guess it would technically, it would consolidate with Station 1. And so there's a lot of some public outcry from the surrounding residents and from the firefighters that work at that station. So you're probably going to hear a bit about that over the next, you know, few days or weeks. But technically, you know, that area is growing. We continue to get permits for some of the undeveloped land out in that area. We just had a McCullers fire development to be built, which included apartments, but there's going to be some townhomes and some single-family dwellings involved. Even down 401, we're getting some inquiries about some property that's been vacant for a little while that the council's talked about before or had developers in discussing before. And we just continue to get other permits. So we know that's a growth area for us, and that eventually, even without the Wake County or even Fuquay involvement, that there's going to be a need to put a station somewhere in that area at some point in time. And so we just want to make sure, you know, you have a good understanding of that and don't get caught off guard if somebody approaches you about what's happening. From the town of Garner standpoint, we're not really getting in the middle of the fray between Fairview and Wake County. This is just, I guess, a consequence of the station being located there, that as government entities, we could avoid maybe some overlap. And we're trying to, I guess we're trying to portray it as all the different positives that that the community would get from having, Garner Fire in that area. It could involve, you know, things like getting a ladder truck that would help cover Wake Tech. And if you've been out to Wake Tech recently, with some of their developments, some of their buildings are getting higher and higher. So that's one example. And then some of the certifications that Garner Fire has, and the manpower with the professional paid staff. And that's not to say that, you know, Fairview volunteers and staff were not doing a good job. But as Wake County's looking at it, it's a way to, I guess, make use of a resource that's nearby without having to have overlapping fire districts. And so mergers and consolidations have been something that's been talked about in Wake County for a while, not with just this station, some other stations. And so it's always controversial anytime you talk about either closing or merging different stations. You know, that one's been in existence for over 50-something years, 55 years. And so, you know, there's a lot of emotions around it, but we're looking at it from mostly as a business case, and also from a coverage for the town of Garner, with the intent that there will be enough capacity to cover and work with the county to cover the unincorporated areas. I mean, no different than what Garner Fire does now. They cover the town, but they also cover unincorporated Wake County and the surrounding area. So anyway, I'll give Matt, if you want to add anything to that, give you an opportunity to
I'll be glad to answer any questions, but yeah.
One thing I would add before I field questions is that Chief Poole, John Hodges, and I, we both attended the Fire Commission meeting. Was that last week? A week and a half ago. Yeah, time flies. A week and a half ago, and there was presentations by the county. There were also community members that spoke, and basically no action was taken by the Fire Commission. The way this is going to work is the Fire Commission will vote, first of all, whether to close Station 2 and consolidate it with Station 1, and then there'll be a vote about the potential for Wake County participating with Garner on a new station in that area. And we are not really discussing the location right now. And then after that, I guess that recommendation will go to the county commissioners, and I guess they'll vote on it for the final vote. But what we're saying on our end is we're going to build a fire station in that area at some point, no matter what. So
I think you answered my question. I was going to say, who will decide if Fairview closes? You mentioned the Fire Commission. Is that who would make that decision? And what time frame or in general do you think we're looking at?
It would be the commission and then go up to the county commissioners. The Fire Commission then go up to the county commissioners. The time frame, I would think they'd want to make a decision within the next couple of months or so, if not sooner. So.
But the closure wouldn't be affected that soon.
The
closure.
Oh, the closure would not be affected that soon. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. It would be about a 3-year process, I think. Somewhere a 2 to 3 year process. So it's not like an immediate closure. Because the town is not quite ready to build the fire station yet. We're just making plans for the future. And we need to start looking at property, potentially. And Matt tells a great story that he heard from EMS that when they were looking to build an EMS station in the Briar Creek area, they didn't really do it until everything had developed. And then you couldn't find property. And when you found property, it was priced so high you couldn't afford it. So using that as a lesson, we want to go ahead and try to lock down something and be prepared. But it's, it's roughly a 3-year process. So it's not like it would happen.
Any further council questions? Buck? Great.
When you mentioned near the end, Station 2, who's Station 2? Garner?
Oh, no. Fairview has two stations. They have a Station 1, which is down Penny Road, and then they have a station. No, Station 1 is on 1010 also, right? And then Station 2 is on 1010, not far from 401. So they have two stations on 1010 Road. So Station 2 would close, and they can consolidate it to Station 1. And the potential to maybe even consolidate with another local fire department, but that's a whole different story for somebody else to tell. So anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Fairview Station 2.
Go ahead. Kathy, Jackie. Look it up.
So if anyone has any questions, I'll be prepared to answer any questions. Chief Poole, the county. So, if you get approached and, need somebody to answer anything for you, it's fine.
All right,
we're good. All right.
Item 3, conflict of interest.
Yes, Mayor. Basically, this conflict of interest statement, it's a conflict of interest policy, and it's a requirement from the state government. In this case, because we're going to be getting DOT funds, there's a requirement that any grantee receiving state funds must have a conflict of interest requirement and must provide a copy of that policy, which must have been enacted before it can receive those funds. And basically, there's several prongs of it. The main aspects. There's a general disclosure form where everyone that's listed is one of the members of the town council, the town manager, town attorney, and the department heads for each department will need to each year submit a disclosure form which lists employers for everyone in their household and also any properties owned within the town of Garner. And then there's a specific disclosure. That's more the general disclosure policy. There's a specific disclosure policy for, if you look at page 2, any kind of legislative action. If something's before the board, the town manager or members of the town council will need to disclose that to the board if there's some kind of possible conflict of interest, if you know, you own a property involved, if it's something about awarding a contract and it's going to impact, you know, a company that is that you're a family member works for, things like that. And so you can basically answer any questions. Those are the two main things. There's also a section about town officials receiving gifts. Cannot receive any gift with a value of more than $50. There's also a prong about not using the official position or the town's facilities for his or her private gain. And that's most of it. Do y'all have any questions about that?
Read with great interest section, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they've got a whole little quasi-judicial hearing set up for should something happen. But, you know, the goal of these is really for it to be a disclosure-based thing, and then as long as everyone's disclosing things, people can take, you know, a vote can be held without them involved, or they can try to distance themselves from a decision being made.
My point being is if we get in trouble, Rodney is the first judge. To be on your toes.
Yeah, there's that.
Clarify that. In section 1, I would be the first judge if it was a town employee, and in section 2, it would be the rest of the council.
Yeah, and then 3.
And then 3.
Big deal.
Yeah, then 3 would be a deal.
Yeah, there's also the last thing there, the advisory opinion. If you have a question about whether something is on the line, you can go to the town attorney and ask for an advisory opinion on this. And sometimes that's the best thing to do. If it's a lot of this stuff is, it does get into gray areas sometimes. And that's a good thing to have is that you can do that and they can look into it and tell you so that you know, you've gotten the town attorney's advice on this and you've gotten that stamp. So.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
Where did we sign? Very good, very good.
Oh, yeah. We had it coming back to consent at the next meeting.
We'll vote it again.
Is that okay?
Good.
Since this is the first time you're hearing it in a public setting, we typically put something like this on consent for the next meeting. Is that okay?
Do I understand correctly that the form itself will need to be filled out by each council member?
Yeah, it's council members, and it's also, I want to make sure it's clear that it does also extend to town manager, council members, town attorney, and department heads. And the reason for that is that if you look at the statute, it says that this extends to the grantee's management employees. And so that's why you need to have all the department heads in there too.
And I'm seeing something that says it should be filed before July 1st.
Yeah. So of next year, in this case, you're not late.
Okay, anyone else? We'll move forward with the manager reports.
Manager reports, just wanted to mention the bond upgrade. You got information about the Town of Garner bond upgrade on Standard & Poor's to a AAA. It was a AA plus, and we got upgraded to a AAA. We also were evaluated by Moody's, and they sustained the AA1 that we received a couple of years ago. So that was really good, especially in light of a bond issuance coming up here in the next couple of weeks on August the 14th. So What that will do is that will put us in a good position, hopefully, to get favorable interest rates when we issue bonds and any other debt financing we might do in the future. Standard & Poor's, we actually had a rep here, and we were able to tour the town and show her some of the new development, show her some of the economic development projects and some of the housing projects. You know, of course, they looked at our finances and our fund balance and our saving policies and our other financial policies, and they were very impressed with the way we handle business here in Garner, financial business here in Garner. And for a town our size to get a AAA is very, very impressive according to some of those we have talked to. So staff is to be commended for the work they've done, town council to be commended for the long-range planning and some of the financial policies you put in place. And this community, the way it's growing, is really opening some eyes and putting us in a really good position to do some good things in the future. So if you have any questions about that, I've sent the reports out so you can read the actual summary of the reports. Reminder that Thursday will be the Connect Conference at the Chamber, or held by the Chamber. It'll be at the Grand Marquis Ballroom. We have a tour scheduled for 10 o'clock. Is that 10:30? The tour starts. And then we'll come back to the Grand Marquis Ballroom for lunch and some presentations starting at 12. And then the conference will go on until 6 when dinner is served. But it's, you know, it's an all-day conference. The theme is the changing face of Garner. It's going to highlight some of the businesses in Garner and some of the other things we've got going on here in Garner and the growth and what are some other things, Rick and John, that are on the agenda?
We're going to feature some of the transportation projects that the town is in the lead on and the DOT is in the lead on. And Heptel has put together a newsletter that updates folks on those transportation projects. We won't always print this, but we are printing an inaugural copy for the attendees at the Connect Conference. And so I should have gotten those for y'all tonight and did not think to do that. So we'll get copies of that to you. But that gives citizens an update on both projects that could affect them that DOT is doing and ones that we wanted to highlight that the town is taking the lead on the initiative.
Very good.
Next, I have the rec center construction update, something we've said we'd get to you as things change. The date has moved out. The projected completion date has moved to October 31st. The general contractor has exceeded the allowed contract time and is now subject to liquidated damages of $500 a day. They are well aware of that. You recently took a tour, so there is some progress being made still. Not as fast as we would like for it to move, but there is some progress. And, of course, had bad weather already this week. It slowed some things down. But
how many days are they? Have they exceeded the allowable days?
I do not know that.
It's been too many.
The amount of days.
At least the contract
completion was June 26th was the official contract completion, so it would be the days.
I'm glad that date going forward.
I believe how that's counted, Ms. Behringer, but I'd like to confirm that with Tony before you do a lot of math with it. But I know that the date that the contract was forwarded in June 26th. But right. There's weather days taken into consideration.
Yeah, I didn't know what the base
goes past
date
that,
was,
so I can get you a better update.
Sure. Thank you.
But
how ironic, it's on October 31st, trick or treat. But it's based off the penalty. That's 3 months, August, September, and October, just that day. And if it's ready October 31st, I'll eat my shoes. I got on my feet right in front of it and let y'all tape it and draw a crowd. Now, we know a good one won't be ready in 3 months.
Right.
Based on what we saw the other day. But hey, $500 a day, that's $15,000 a month. Maybe delayed on the 6 months thing.
Right. And I don't
pay for it.
I'm not quite sure how they count the days, whether it's business days only, but it will be a substantial amount if they keep at this pace. So, but some of the things they've done over the last 30 days is started installing gym equipment. They've finishing some of the exterior sheathing. You can see where they sprayed some of the insulation foam spray on the block, some rough end of the electrical, plumbing, mechanical. Started some of the roofing, brick lintels, a little bit of asphalt placement at 70, and put a decorative fence around the retention pond. Over the next 30 days, they plan to complete the HVAC, complete the brick veneer, complete the roofing, continue to do the interior paint, drywall in some of the, you know, office areas, and continue to install gym equipment, start up air conditioning. And the start of air conditioning is a big milestone because that's going to have to be up and running. Well, first the building's got to be dried in, then the air's got to be turned on and the building conditioned for a little while before they can start laying the floor. So that's going to be a big milestone. And they're continuing to do the site work at GPAC. They started some of the curbing has been laid on the parking lot, so they have started some of that, but still a lot more to do.
In regards to that parking lot, Rodney, any other significant asphalt projects they've got to do, the parking and the road routes at Montague, that's all going to wait to the end. They're not going to do GPAC before they finish that. They're going to do, but you know, when they're mobilized in that area. And as I understand it, talking to Mr. Salk, the construction on Highway 70 improvements are somewhat on schedule. They're not going to do the crossover, of course, if they have to, or if they need to. But most of the significant insulation and building and installing your asphalt in that, on improvements on 70 Montague and also the parking is all going to be done near the end of the project.
More than likely, that's probably the way it's going to phase out.
Anybody have anything else?
All right. A couple other things is the appearance group that's going to look at some of the neighborhood improvement and some enforcement items to consider is going to meet August the 7th. We've got a pretty good group, I think, now. And I know we had asked the council for volunteers, so we've got some folks on that committee, and I don't know if we're planning to add any more, but I think we've got a pretty good group that's going to meet on the 7th at 9 o'clock. And the other thing is on August 16th, DOT and their contractor, AECOM, is going to have a public meeting to discuss the improvements on US 401, that roadway project, and they want to first meet with town officials at 3, and then they will have the public meeting, more of an open house like they've done in the past with some other road projects, from 5 to 7. So if you could look at your calendar for 3 o'clock on August 16th and let the town clerk know if you will be able to attend. We're still trying to find a location for that meeting. Several of our meeting rooms in town hall are booked, so we're going to look at some of our external facilities, and we'll let you know.
Is this in regards to the 401 improvements they met with us, gosh, over a year ago. We were at the police station. That's
correct.
That was 18 months ago. So that's about making some of it a close to some intersections, making it some of a super street type atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And they've already started some of that work, and this will be an update to that meeting, that information.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last thing, just to let you know kind of briefly, we're going to be starting the town engineer recruitment process pretty soon. We want to, try to get the process started by the end of this month, and then by the end of the next month is have an assessment center, and hopefully have somebody, some type of offer in the October, November range, and then get them here, before the end of the year. Hopefully there could be some overlap with the existing town engineer, just the information transfer and those type of things. So just wanted to let you know about that. Likely because of the you know, importance of this position, and, you know, all of our positions are important, but this position, especially being a professional position, the plan is to use the assessment center format and put them through, you know, like we typically do, two plus days of assessment, and then whatever other wrap up we want to do beyond that. But that's pretty much the plan right now. But we want to go ahead and get that started so we can get somebody on board before Mr. Chalk leaves.
Have you set the date?
Oh, we have not yet. We have not yet. We'll let you know once we set the dates.
His name is Chalks.
31st, December 31st, he will be retired.
Anyone else?
That's all the reports I have for the night, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, before we go to the council reports, I'll ask Rick. Rick, do you have anything?
Remind everyone that the town player is evening show today.
Chief, you want to talk about Night Out?
Yes, sir. Next Tuesday, August 7th, will be National Night Out. That'll be primarily held in Lincoln Park. It'll start at 6 o'clock, go to about 8 o'clock. There'll be activities for kids. There'll be a DJ. So we'll be hitting some smaller community events. And then from 6 to 8 at Lake Benson, we certainly would have.
Okay, Councilman Gordon. Ken, let's start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to report that my very recent experience with Garner Info resulted in a very expedient response. There was a tree that fell across the main walking trail in White Deer Park while I was out walking just, I guess it was yesterday morning. And was able to take a picture and send that in, and the Public Works Department, had that cleared out by the next day anyway. Rodney sort of helped me figure out if I had submitted it correctly, so but anyway, it works very well. And while I'm speaking of the park, I think all of the council members saw the same email that I did from a lady who had a concern about the playground equipment there in that one area. And I would certainly have to agree with her assessment that there were some real needs there, some problems. I realize that when we bought that was kind of unique equipment. Town manager and I have had a little discussion about that, but I would certainly love to see us. And I think some repairs have already been made. My grandchildren are coming to town, so we're going to check it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, we have some certified playground inspectors on staff, but we do inspect that. But it is a unique playground, so you can't just go to a local hardware store and buy a park or a rail for it. But I think in hindsight, knowing the amount of maintenance on that when we go to replace it, we would probably use something more modern playground equipment. And it is in our perform list of, you know, replacement at some point in time. I don't know how much it would cost, but we do have that on our radar screen.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Ryan. And the only other thing I have, and I don't know that I have a solution for it. I know we had our annual volunteer, banquet for those persons in our town who serve on our advisory committees. In the opinion of several, the attendance was not so great. I'm not sure anybody knows why, but anything I think we can do to think through that to, I don't know if it needs to be changed to a different time, but anything we can do to encourage better attendance at that, I think it would be good to do that. I think beyond that, that's the only other thing I would mention that relates some to parks. Obviously, with some of the heavy rains we're having, we need to be conscious of some of the washing that occurs, particularly in the wooded section of Lake Benson Park. And I'm sure Public Works will be aware of that. I don't think the dog park has washed away yet, but it's gotten very wet there. But those are the only things I would mention at this point. Thank you.
Beth.
Yes, sir. Over the past 2 days, I've gotten calls about three different issues from three different people. So we'll start with the flooding on West Garner Road just past Van Dorn Springs. If you're headed west, whenever it rains, the road floods because the drainage pipe isn't sufficient that goes under the railroad, and the ditch is not doing its job either, and there was nearly a wreck there yesterday. I understand we've talked to the railroad before about their responsibility there, and they're not answering us or just ignoring us. What do we need to do next? That's the whole road, all the way across Garner Road, gets flooded when there's even minor rain anymore because the pipe is just not adequate. The drainage is not adequate. So what's our next step?
We can make a personal call to our rep with the railroad and see if we can get any headway there. But like I said, it's under the track, so we're kind of at their mercy, but we will.
But they not have any legal responsibility for the safety of the traveling public in their right of way?
Garner Road, not bothered by them.
Yeah.
They'll get to it maybe in 3 years, maybe five.
We'll send them official letter correspondence, and maybe
I get complaints about that.
If we can catch it while it's raining, maybe we can send them some photos to go along with that, but we will send them something more official.
I get complaints about it all the time, but yesterday was right after a near miss there.
Yeah, if you ride down the road and look toward the railroad, you can see it's pretty much a square inlet.
Right, and it's not big enough to handle
the drainage. Does not handle the capacity.
Yeah. Okay, so. Well, please do send that on. Second thing is I had a call from a resident about the no-mo landscaping at Garner High School. And I talked with Mr. Hodges about it and understand why the grass is being left as it is. But this particular person's response was that she could see some students thinking it was cute or maybe profitable to plant some other stuff within that grass area that's not being mowed and monitored that isn't legal. And so she had some concerns about whether or not leaving the no-mo situation as it is conducive to good behavior on the part of some of these kids. Can we pass that on? I mean, I understand that the school board has made the decision to do that sort of landscaping, but there is a concern, and apparently this person has reason to have brought this up to me. So am I saying it so you can understand?
Oh, I understand. I had never heard that before.
Yeah,
but
woods would be another state
there. So would I, Gray. But we found some marijuana growing in the woods beside the women's club several years ago, and we have no idea how that got there. So it does happen.
I would be more concerned about the woods. I would be at the very front of the school.
Yeah. I told her I would register the mm-hmm. her feelings, and so
right. We'll pass that on to a school rep.
Okay. And the third thing, I got a call from David Allen this afternoon, who lives on Arlene Road off of Creech Road, concerning the development that's happening. I don't know the name of the company now, but I believe several years ago the original company that applied to build a subdivision was Inverness, and now it's changed hands, and it looks like things are moving along. And David's concern was that in the past, that he understood the road would not continue from Curtis Drive all the way back through that neighborhood out onto Creech Road. It crosses a creek, and he and other neighbors were of the understanding that was not going to happen. Now he says he understands it is going to happen, and he has concerns about that and wants to know if, in fact, that's true, and will the whole plan be brought to the public because they knew nothing about the new
plan. We'll have to go back and look at the site plan,
okay.
Original site plan, to see if there was any amendments made to it by staff or whoever.
Can you let me know about that?
Okay. And will that site plan come before us because the previous ones have? So I don't know if that site plan is going to be staff approved or not. But we we've been updated that this in the planning department has been for some time, because I've talked to Ms. Hazel next door over taking Meals on Wheels. She has special concerns. I talked to Mr. Friesenberg about that. But I don't know if it's going to come before the council. That's going to be staff approved.
Well, Mr. Allen was of the impression that it would not come before the council since there had been no rezoning with the current owner. No rezoning necessary to do what the current owner wants to do. Just passing information on. If we can check on that. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. That's all, sir.
Jackie.
Yeah, a couple. The sign at Brand and Hayward Street is laying down on the ground. Been down for a couple of days. And also, sometime back, a month or so ago, I spoke about the grass out on the front of the building. Some of it is coming up and some of it is still rot. What's going on with that?
The grass where at the front of this building?
Yes.
What did you say was wrong with it?
It's no grass. It's dead or whatever.
Yeah, we
see some spots out there that's no grass.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the condition that occurred after the initial installation, and for about the first year or so, it was technically under the responsibility of the landscaping company and the warranty associated with the work on this building. Now that that has passed, our public works staff will take over the maintenance and do the best they can to improve the situation. The areas that were sodded look much better. The ones that were seeded just didn't come in very well. So we're aware of it and working on it.
Yeah, it looks better than it did sometime back.
Yeah. It will take, I mean, well, we could go to great lengths, but if it will probably take a little bit of time if we're not going to rip it all out, start over and put sod in.
I mean, it's the soil type there.
Yeah. It's going to be a process to get it up where it needs to be. It, you know, there's not irrigation system. I don't want expectations to be too high about what we're going to get out there, but it could definitely be improved, and Public Works is going to start working on it this season.
Warranty period expired.
We're at the very end of the warranty period.
It's clear then that they haven't met the expectations. Why wouldn't we first try them?
We need to find out how the percentage of coverage of grass is a little different than if a particular plant dies. Grass is a much tougher tougher topic to cover under the warranty provision. But we will definitely ask. Mr. Chalk is working with the contractor now, finishing the warranty walkthrough for the building as well as the landscaper. So we'll discuss that with them.
Excuse me. Yep. Greg, you have in mind?
I'll mention Rodney talked about the appearance commission getting together, I believe, next week. And I asked Rick to send out a link to an article in the NNO in regards to nuisances that were filed in the city of Raleigh. So I hope all of y'all read that. Rather interesting. And now you can turn your neighbor in, too. We said, oh, I can turn your neighbor in. You can do that here, too. And they got our info is available for anyone who wants to download the app or just calling someone. But anyway, it was interesting reading those complaints. No surprises, but they have the same complaints there that we have in Garner. But that's all I have.
I believe that there have been some tours already scheduled in the past, but I know I missed one of them that when people were allowed to get inside the new Garner Magnet High School. Does anybody know of any future availabilities for see it for students or return?
We will be touring it as a part of the Connect Conference Thursday. Past that, Mr. Hillman did mention an event that was being hosted, I believe, in September. That may be after the school is open. I'm not certain, but there is a public event. Mayor, do you?
7/21st, I think.
September the 21st.
That's what I recall.
There's a celebration for the...
The end of that, older than you.
Yeah, so there's
do you know what time it is, Ronnie?
No, sir.
Yeah, that's that's a Thursday, isn't it?
I'd be interested, Mr. Kennedy, if something could be set up. I won't be at the Connect Conference either, so I'd love to take a tour of the facility.
So you go next Tuesday, there's fresh orientation. You can walk on in there and time you got a freshman. Take a tour.
Not if they look at the cover.
Mr. Hillman's.
It's all day long. My youngest is girlfriend. She's part of it.
There's some people that they wouldn't believe we had a freshman there when they saw the color of our hair.
You have a grandchild that's going to be a freshman.
We're working with Mr. Hillman on the tour for Thursday, so I'll be glad to ask him if there's an opportunity that we could schedule something for elected officials to come.
Okay. And admittedly, getting one where we could all find the time, it's convenient, it's going to be difficult. I'm just wondering if there's anything already set, and yes, I'll miss Thursday as well. Leave it at that. If you hear anything, let us know. The group, formerly known, I reckon, as anyhow, the group that's been interested in the restoring the depot and perhaps expanding it to some extent to preserve Barnard's history, had sent out some information or cast out to the public to find people that may be interested in having some interest in this matter, and that group is meeting tonight in about 7 minutes. I wish I could tell you where my wife was going, but I really don't. But this, I have no idea. I'll get a report from her when she gets home. But I know in the last 2 or 3 months, several folks have visited the Fuquay and Coates, and some may have gone to Apex, I'm not sure. But in any event, hopefully that's a sign that there's some growing interest in getting people interested in preserving Garner's history. I have no idea where it will lead to, but it's a good sign that it seems that some interest is building. Regarding the comments on warranty, is everybody satisfied that the electrical issues on the dais here about plug-ins, has that been resolved? I've tried to charge tonight, and I couldn't get anything to charge.
Yeah, in that case, that's not – well, if I have to check and see if they plugged it in. The USB charging outlets at the base of your monitor stands are not of – they are not strong enough to power the big iPads. They would power a phone. So they're not malfunctioning per se. It's just that the ones that we bought are not beefy enough for that purpose. So I think we had you set up to there's a plug underneath and a special cable that would provide you enough power to do that?
I've got it, and it says not charging.
Okay, I'll check into that. But I don't think that's a building warranty issue. I think that's just a matter of whether we have your charging cord set up correctly.
On right now. That's all I have.
Okay, well, on to Jim. You got a closed session?
Yes.
I recommend going into a closed session under 143-318-11A5 for real estate acquisitions.
I need a motion. Motion to go to closed session. Passes. We're in closed session. I need a motion, Craig.
I'm moving to go back into open session.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
What did you do, Council? What did Council do?
Council discussed potential land acquisition and took no action. Move that we adjourn, Mr. Mayor.
Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Second.
Good meeting, guys. Good question. Sure.
Not bad.
Okay, very good. Well.